Dr. Dadri is a prominent parliamentarian. He is the Member of Parliament for Luxor of the Freedom and Justice Party. And he's also the director of the Luxor Islamic Center for Global Dialogue and a member and spokesperson of the Freedom and Justice Party's Foreign Relations Committee. Dr. Dadri headed the Foreign Relations and the Freedom and Justice Party's first delegation to the White House last year in 2012 and is a key advisor to President Morsi on tourism. Dr. Dadri, the question that I want to start with relates to how people's expectations have changed after the revolution, but how the attitudes of state employees hasn't, how the revolution hasn't filtered down. This particularly in a week where we've seen the second anniversary of the revolution met not with so much with celebration, but rather with violence and protest. Could you talk a bit about the events of the last week and about this current phase of the revolution?
Let me first thank you, Noor, for inviting me, and thanks for the IPI to give me this opportunity to be able to speak with a larger number of people so that we can get to know one another firsthand experience. Concerning the expectation of Egyptians after the revolution, many, in fact, if not the majority, all of the Egyptians expected the end of all their troubles by the beginning of the revolution. We all expected, because we didn't believe that Mubarak will ever fall down. So we expected that once Mubarak falls down, then all problems will go with him and will disappear once he disappears from the political scene. That was very much unrealistic. It was more of a utopia concept, a very imaginative alternative, and that is what created a setback. When people did not see their services being delivered as expected or as dreamed of, when the changes they expected to see in a short period of time did not happen, this created a setback in the minds and hearts of so many Egyptians. Then the political process, because the Egyptians in the two referendums that took place in Egypt, they decided to take the legal course of action in relationship to the problems Egypt have been suffering for decades now. The legal process, it is a good process because it gives people freedom and justice, but the problem with the legal process, it takes a lot of time. And sometimes too much time with the legal process becomes very oppressive again. And that's why what made people revolt in the streets, because they wanted quick fix to the problems Egypt has been suffering for decades. This is causing a serious trouble for us as Freedom and Justice Party, because we're assumed to be the people running the show in Egypt now. We are the government and we're not providing the services. So people come at us on a daily basis, if not hourly basis, saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? That is not all in our hands. And it is very important for us as Egyptians to know that this is going to take some time. It is going to change not only the leadership of the organization or of the institution providing services to the Egyptian people, but it's going to take some time to change the mindset of the employees. It is going to take some time to change the laws and the regulations. So it requires really a change in the people's mindset as in the state employees' mindset. And this will take some time.
The revolution, as you said, will take time to filter through state institutions. But one way forward might be through local government accountability and local elections. This was part of the Muslim Brotherhood's 2005 manifesto, but there hasn't been much movement in the last 2 years in terms of actually having local elections. What are your thoughts on this?
But I agree with you completely that local alternatives, because all politics is local, and unless the municipalities and the local government make the difference in the lives of the Egyptians, it is going to take very, very long time. But what happened is because of the political instability. In fact, when I was elected as a member of the parliament, I expected to serve my full term 5 years. But then the judiciary, the corrupt elements of the judiciary, intervened and dissolved the parliament. So that set back the whole local municipality alternative for some months to come. Before we get the parliament elected, it's very difficult to talk about the municipal election. In the Freedom and Justice Party platform, we're having a program that will make the local governors being elected now and during Mubarak and Sadat and Nasser's time, they are appointed by the central authority in Cairo. We would really like them to be representative of the people of the governed race in which they live. So we would like them to be elected from the people who are living in these governments. This requires a change of the law. It requires also change of the mindset of the people. The municipality is the one that is responsible for providing services to the local people, from water to energy to all other services, that unless this is done. So it is like a chain. You have to do one thing first and this other thing second. So first things first, we need to be done with the parliamentary election, number one, that is likely to come in a few months. And then right after, we really need the municipality election that is likely to move services to the people of Egypt to be done in a very different way, and in fact, in a better way. And then the cycle goes on. Once the cycle completes, I think we will be able to see better alternatives for the Egyptian people.
To move from the local level just back to the national level and the issue of national dialogue. At this moment, more than ever, it seems imperative for Egypt to actually have an all-encompassing national dialogue. What can the government do, even when the opposition is acting as a spoiler? But what can the government do, since it has the responsibility to make sure that even the minority does engage? What can you do to move this process forward of the national dialogue?
As a member of the parliament, I cannot really speak for the government itself, but what I think the government needs to do is to keep pushing for the national dialogue. Even if the so-called National Salvation Front is refusing to dialogue with the government, I think they have to keep the door for dialogue open. Anytime the National Salvation Front changes its mind to have dialogue, they should be welcome. Second is the government needs to do the best it can to provide the service, regardless whether the NFA agrees or not. But the government itself has really to cleanse its own departments from the corrupt elements. Each minister cleanses his or her ministry from the corrupt elements, the people will feel the change. Still until today, the same old people of Mubarak regime still are there in the ministries themselves. We expect the government to really do these changes very fast so that the people of Egypt can feel the real change. And also the government has to play it fairly, should not really side with one side or the other, especially in the coming parliamentary election. It has really to do it fairly, whether Freedom and Justice Party or opposition. It should not really matter, should treat all Egyptians equal under the law. And if this is done in the right way, this is likely to convince. And this is what matters most, is the Egyptian people. If we succeed in convincing the Egyptian people that this is a fair election and it is going to produce a government that is responsible for the people, and if the government does not meet the needs of the Egyptian people, it is likely to be changed once its term is over. If we can do this, we're going to really push Egypt into the democratic course that is likely to produce better alternative for Egyptians. And that's why the revolution came to achieve dignity, freedom, and social justice. And we really need a government that can do the three, the dignity of the Egyptians and the freedom of all Egyptians and the social justice to the Egyptians. Because until today, the rich are still on the top. We would like the government to do the minimum and maximum range of salaries so that the majority of Egyptians live in a way that all can get the basic needs. The difference in salaries really has to be minimized. So the gap itself has to be minimized to a reasonable stage, so that Egyptians can feel that they did a revolution for something worth doing for, and then they will be able to move in the right direction, inshallah.
But since we're talking about the government, we've seen in the last 2 weeks thousands and thousands and thousands of protesters out on the streets talking about how they feel that the Muslim Brotherhood has this majoritarian mindset when it came to the constitution process, and also is, on the one hand, in terms of the politics, they're unhappy with the government, but on the other, when it comes to economic issues, there's this unhappiness about the lack of stability and also the IMF loan and the austerity cuts that it will cause. What is the thinking inside of the Freedom and Justice Party about this perception of it amongst the people protesting?
Yeah. One thing I would like to congratulate the government for is the fact that those thousands and thousands can go to the streets of Egypt on a daily basis and even can get as close as they did to the presidential palace. That's a plus, as long as it is peaceful. And we would really like to emphasize the importance of peacefulness, because that is a unique characteristic of the Egyptian revolution. It was always Selmiya meaning peaceful. And we would like to keep that unique characteristic of the Egyptian revolution. And this is what we came to think of as an Egyptian constitution. It is very unfortunate that the liberals and the Coptic Church left the Constituent Assembly at the last 15 days of the drafting the constitution. But the constitution at the end of the day was presented to the people of Egypt, and 63.8% of the Egyptians approved of the constitution as is. But this constitution is not made of stone. It can be changed. And whoever gets elected to the parliament has to be able really to practice the will of the Egyptian people. And if there is a need, we have to be able to change it. The IMF and the austerity measures that are likely to be taken, the Egyptian government is talking about, if we succeed in getting rid of the corruption, there are billions of Egyptian pounds are wasted through the corrupt means of the different governments. If we succeed, we may not really to do serious austerity measures, because that will help the IMF with putting an end or trying to minimize as much as possible the corruption. I think Egypt can move with in a better formula in the right direction.
Actually, talking of the IMF, among a lot of the unhappiness that I heard on the streets of Egypt and the anti-American sentiment was really related to the IMF loans and this feeling of amongst people that it would bring them an unfair deal. But I'd like to shift to the issue of the US, because since President Morsi assumed office, Egyptian relations with the United States seem to be fairly stable. You, of course, led the first delegation to the White House in April 2012. In what way has the Muslim Brotherhood presidency changed this relationship, and what can you tell us about its future?
The anti-American sentiment will come again if the national pride of Egypt is wounded. So the Egyptians after the revolution are very much different than the Egyptian before the revolution. It's very important for the United States decision makers to know that they're not dealing with Hosni Mubarak anymore. So they're not dealing with one man. It is not a one-man show. Mohamed Morsi is just an elected president who's serving the interests of the Egyptian people. So Egypt now is a democracy, and the popular voice is very important in Egypt in the coming years. So this national pride is very important for Egypt and the Egyptian, and both Egypt and the United States of America have joint interests. And if they can succeed in serving each other's interests, I think they're likely to play a better alternative than the days of Hosni Mubarak. The Egyptians in the past during Mubarak suffered from the inferiority complex. I think they will be able to get rid of the inferiority complex during the revolution. And we hope that the American administration, the Congress, and the American people get rid also of this superiority complex and start dealing with the Egyptians as equal citizens. During the first delegation that I led in April of last year, when I was by the president of the Freedom and Justice Party at that time, President Morsi, he recommended us to share with the Americans that it is very important to build strong relations between Egypt and the United States of America based on the mutual understanding and mutual respect, and made it very clear that we're committed to respecting international agreements as long as they do not violate the national interest of and the national security of Egypt itself. And based on these two principles, I see the relationship between Egypt and the United States can move in the right direction if the United States administration and Egypt meet on these two principles, the mutual understanding and mutual respect. And Egypt is not really planning to go one-sided in the coming years, is planning to go with relationship with all other countries based on the national interest of the Egyptian. And I am very optimistic about this relation. I think more dialogues of this sort and other sorts of dialogue, we will be able to create a better way of understanding one another. And we can push the Egyptian and the American agenda forward for the benefit of both countries.
Dr. Dardari, thank you very much for this interview. It's great to have you at IPI.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to be part of this meeting. Thank you.